We are eating the clothes we wear. The portions are microscopic, tiny synthetic and natural fibers released from textiles called microfibers, but they are prevalent, prolific even. Many of these microfibers are plastic, contributing to the global problem of human exposure to microplastics. A 2021 study estimated the average child and adult ingests 883 particles of microplastic per day, and that doesn't include the natural fibers. Microfibers are released into water and air daily and have been accumulating since the 1950s, when synthetic clothing was first introduced. Numbering in the trillions, these minuscule particles float in lakes, rivers, waterways, and even airstreams. Dyed and otherwise chemically treated microfibers have made their way to the top of Mount Everest and to the icy landscapes of Antarctica. A 2019 study found microfibers in more than 90% of rainwater samples taken from across Colorado, including some from 3,000 meters up in the Rocky Mountains. They're in the Great Lakes, in the digestive systems and organs of wildlife, and recently they've been discovered in human blood, lungs, and digestive systems. The macro issue of microfibers is being tackled in two small Ontario towns, where ongoing research has global significance. Volunteers from Collingwood and Parry Sound who have been catching and collecting debris from their washing machines are contributing to a science experiment that may help alter Canadian laws to protect water quality. It's through this research that washing machines have emerged as a key gateway to stem the microfiber tide. One of the biggest contributors to microfiber pollution in water is the effluent from washing machines, which is why the environmental science-focused charity, Georgian Bay Forever, is supporting research that uses filters to catch those microfibers when they are released during a load of wash. David Sweetnam, executive director of Georgian Bay Forever, said the best option for dealing with microfiber pollution is prevention. The charity has supported research into microfiber filters for washing machines and is advocating for mass-scale use of filters to capture microfibers that come from clothing before they ever enter the water treatment system. The approach is very much more, let's keep them out, rather than get them out after the fact, said Sweetnam. A study undertaken by Georgian Bay Forever and University of Toronto Rockman Lab has proved that microfiber filters do work to significantly decrease the ongoing flow of the environmental pollutants. Lisa Erdl, who was part of the team at the Rockman Lab working on the washing machine filter project while she was completing her PhD, said microfibers are the most common contaminants in the Great Lakes and around the world. Studies have shown they can cause negative effects, both the synthetic and natural fibers, Erdl said. But there is something we can do about it. Georgian Bay is the northeastern arm of Lake Huron. Microfibers are anthropogenic, environmental pollutant, fibers less than 5 millimeters long. They come from clothing and textiles made from synthetic materials like polyester, nylon, or spandex, and also from natural, chemically treated fibers such as cotton or wool. Though not all microfibers are plastic, deep dives into the debris show they are mostly microplastics. Microfibers can be as small as 3 microns. For comparison, a human hair is between 50 and 100 microns. The fibers contaminate habitats and wildlife, and studies published this year have found microfibers in human blood samples and deep inside human lungs. A research paper published in the Netherlands in March, for example, discovered polymers from plastics in whole human blood from 22 healthy blood donors. While this study demonstrated that plastic particles can enter the human bloodstream, the authors say more research is needed to understand whether plastic particle exposure is a public health risk. The research being done on health effects in humans only really started 1.5 years ago, and not a lot is published yet, said Sweetnam. We're on a bit of a threshold here. Another study from the University of Hull in England, also published in March, detected microplastics in all regions of human lungs, indicating that humans can be exposed to microplastics through inhalation. Erdl, who completed her PhD studying microfibers in the freshwater food web, said this study was especially interesting because it found microfibers were the most common particle type in human lungs. There were cellulose fibers, that were clearly not natural because they were dyed, in human lungs, Erdl said. A 2017 study out of Spain estimated 4.8 million tons of synthetic microfibers have entered water bodies and soil since 1950. That number doesn't include the natural fibers also entering water and soil. There are two ways microfibers can be environmental pollutants, Sweetnam explained. They are physically harmful as a mechanical object. Creatures from microorganisms to fish will ingest microfibers, become full and unable to digest the fibers, then starve to death while feeling full. They can also become malnourished, delaying the emergence of microorganisms at the base of the food web. If timing in one part of the food web falls out of sync, the effects ripple to other parts of the web by disrupting food sources at key growth stages. Fish that have just hatched, for example, may not be able to find their main food source because of delays in those microorganisms emerging. In a webinar presentation, Georgian Bay Forever coordinator Brooke Harrison said researchers who sampled lake species of fish, yellow perch, brown bullhead, white sucker, and shiners, found microplastics in 100% of the samples. Nearly all of those microplastics, 96.9%, were microfibers. The researchers further found up to 915 fiber particles per fish. Researchers found microplastics in 100% of all fish samples, including yellow perch. The second way microfibers can be harmful is as chemical vectors. Most, if not all, fabrics are treated, whether natural or synthetic. A couch, for example, is treated with stain-resistant chemicals and wool is treated to withstand washing. The fibers can also absorb chemicals from the water or environment. They basically act as sponges, absorb the chemicals, and, if they're ingested, those chemicals can be released into tissues, said Sweetnam. There are no natural mechanisms or enzymes for breaking down or digesting microfibers, which are impregnable. The fibers we're talking about are unusual, and not natural, said Sweetnam. The ecosystem hasn't evolved in any way to be able to break them down. Microplastics are found in all kinds of food, from beer, salt, and drinking water to tea and meat. We are eating plastic, said Ertl. We've also seen a lot of microplastics and fibers getting into our food from the air. Ertl said she has seen studies showing that microfibers can settle on dinner plates after they are placed on a dining room table. There's a pigpen effect of microfibers all around us, she said. We're literally eating our clothing. By studying wildlife, scientists have reported adverse effects of microfibers impacting survival, growth, feeding behavior, reproduction, and the hepatosomatic index, ratio of liver to the rest of the body size. We're still learning what the effects are to people, Ertl said. But I think we know enough to act even before we have all the answers to questions on impact to human health. Microfibers can be as small as 3 microns. By comparison, a human hair is between 50 and 100 microns. Georgian Bay Forever has focused its research and education on washing machines, hoping to close that floodgate and stop the constant flow of microfibers into wastewater systems. A massive number of microfibers is released in the laundering process, between 200,000 and 2.7 million particles per household, per week, according to the Rockman Lab, Georgian Bay Forever Research. Wastewater treatment plants are catching many of the microfibers that go through the pipes, though it's not a perfect system. A filter designed to capture millions of microscopic particles would interfere with the process of treating wastewater in high volumes. They process so much water that having a fine mesh filter to catch microfibers would slow down the process too much, said Ertl. They would clog up very quickly. She said treatment plants do capture about 95-99% of microfibers in the sludge they produce, but in Ontario and parts of the U.S., that sludge is spread as fertilizer. Years later, microfibers can be found where the fertilizer is spread, ending up in stormwater runoff and eventually back into the water system. If a wastewater system is overwhelmed during a storm event like the Collingwood, Aunt, facility was in September 2021 and untreated sewage is dumped into Georgian Bay, so are millions of microfiber particles. We have this impression that the Great Lakes are pristine water bodies, said Sweetnam. What we really need to talk about is the fact that we are using them as a sewer. And we need to stop thinking about them in that way or they won't be pristine for long. Studies on water samples from Lake Superior, Huron, and Erie conducted in 2013 showed 43,000 particles of microplastics per square kilometer. In 2014, samples from Lake Erie and Ontario and the rivers feeding into them showed between 90,000 and 6.7 million particles per square kilometer. It's never too late, said Sweetnam. We need to stop doing the damage. We're in that position in the Great Lakes where we still have amazing water quality. The more crap we throw in it, the more expensive it's going to be to clean that out to get drinking water. Samples from washing machines in Parry Sound, Ont. Georgian Bay forever worked with the University of Toronto Rockman Lab to test a theory. Would adding a filter on a washing machine prevent microfibers from ever entering the wastewater system and, as a result, prevent them from getting into the ecosystem? Their theory proved correct. In a lab setting, filters worked to reduce the number of microfibers in washing machine effluent by between 87 and 89%. Applying it to a real-life situation, the team led a community-scale pilot experiment in Parry Sound, Ont. Erdl, who now works for one of the study's co-authors, the Five Gyres Institute in California, said the pilot project was important because it showed washing machine filters work in a community setting. She said Parry Sound was a Goldilocks community because it was big enough to have a municipal wastewater system, but small enough that 100 filters could produce a measurable impact. The team installed 97 Filtrol brand filters, made by Minnesota-based Wexco, in homes connected to the municipal wastewater system, which represented about 10% of households in Parry Sound. The research team collected wastewater samples during the two-year pilot project. People with washing machine filters in their homes were asked to collect and save the lint captured, which the team also analyzed and measured. Wastewater testing showed an average decrease of 41% in microfibers in the effluent after filters were installed, even though only 10% of the homes received filters. The extra reduction is quite interesting, said Sweetnam. Like all good scientists, Sweetnam has a hypothesis for that reduction. As the team sought volunteers to have filters installed, the public awareness may have inspired people to take other actions to reduce their microfiber emissions. Behavioral changes such as laundering less, buying used clothing, adding a fiber collector to the inside of the washing machine, and washing with cold water can reduce the number of microfibers that end up in household wastewater. We were quite thrilled to see that kind of impact, Sweetnam said. Washing machine filters result in a measurable reduction in microfibers reaching wastewater treatment plants. Beyond the surprising extra diversion, the pilot project serves an important role as scientific evidence supporting microfiber filtration on washing machines. It's much better to say we need to put filters on washing machines because we can prove they will work, in real life, said Sweetnam. That's the real importance of the research we sponsored with the University of Toronto. Household filters in the Parry Sound project captured about 6.4 grams of lint each week, which is equal to between 200,000 and 2.7 million microfibers per week, depending on the household. Scaling up the data, the pilot project team estimated a filter on every washing machine in a city like Toronto would capture trillions of microfibers every year. We know that filters can capture most microfibers in a load of laundry, and they have a significant impact when we put them into households, said Erdl. There's still an opportunity to turn off the tap of a significant source of microfibers, so it's not too late. The latest pilot project by Georgian Bay Forever is currently underway in Collingwood, where the charity is installing 300 microfiber filters for free on washing machines in households connected to the municipal wastewater system. Those participating in the program have been asked to save the materials collected in the filter for study. We're going to be keeping track of how much waste we're diverting, and we can extrapolate that to the whole population of Collingwood, said Sweetnam. We'll also be looking at and doing some experimentation on the types of microfibers to see if there are any major differences. Microfiber samples await inspection under the microscope. While the pilot projects have involved installing aftermarket filters on household washing machines, those behind the experiments suggest the way forward is in the manufacturing of new washing machines. Although the filters can be added after market, the efficacy varies, they can be pricey, $180 to $220, and not all laundry rooms have space for installation. The filters are about the size of a paper towel dispenser. I think it makes sense to install these into people's homes, said Erdl. But I don't think the burden should be on people to have to buy these filters. I think they should just be installed directly into these machines. A ball of lint removed from a washing machine filter. Jessica Bell, who was elected as the member of provincial parliament for Toronto's University Rosedale riding in 2018, and is now running as the NDP incumbent in the current election campaign, pitched a private member's bill twice in the Ontario legislature. Both called for a law requiring all new washing machines sold in Ontario to have microfiber filters included at manufacturing. The idea came from the community, Bell said in an interview. I thought it made a lot of sense. It's a quick fix that will reduce microplastic pollution in our waterways. She liked the practical nature of the solution, viewing it as an inexpensive and effective part of a comprehensive strategy to protect waterways from pollution. Her last private member's bill was introduced on March 22, but the Ontario government was dissolved for the June 2 election before the bill had a chance to pass. The government of the day has the power to introduce this legislation and make it law any day they want, said Bell. She said it was citizen advocacy that first alerted her to the issue of microfibers spewing from washing machine effluent and ending up in waterways. This is how it happens. People stepped up, they tested it themselves, they found the technology and now they're working with legislators to introduce the legislation, said Bell. We're building a movement to protect our waterways and get microplastic pollution out of our waterways. Effluent samples were collected from the Parry Sound Wastewater Treatment Plant. Armed with the research to support microfiber filters, Georgian Bay Forever is also working with the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative, GLSLCI, and the Quebec-based environmental charity Le Grame to advocate for washing machine filters on a mass scale. As a bi-national coalition of mayors with a mission to protect and restore the Great Lakes, GLSLCI has access and clout in the rooms where provincial and national laws are made. Philippe Murphy-Riome, Canada Policy Director for GLSLCI, said the group is working to identify members of parliament who could introduce a similar bill to Bell's, and also working with the University of Toronto to continue research on different ways to capture microfibers. Research points to microfibers being the most prevalent form of microplastics in a lot of our bodies of water, and it's certainly an area we want to tackle and see some progress made on, said Murphy-Riome. It's one of the many issues we've been monitoring, and, thanks to the leadership of Georgian Bay Forever, it's something that's bubbled up a lot higher on our radar as an organization. He said he is cautiously optimistic about future legislation being passed because of the simplicity and practicality of the solution. Anything that puts the responsibility on the manufacturers to find a solution will be a lot more practical, said Murphy-Riome. Government involvement would also help create a level playing field, according to Sweetnam, who said legislation should include standards for filtration size and levels. Effectively, the government could establish a maximum level of microfiber particles allowed in effluent from washing machines. For all intents and purposes, 100% reduction is the goal, said Sweetnam. From a practical perspective, going from trillions to 100 or something like that is possible with a multi-tier approach. France has already passed a law requiring all washing machines sold in the country to have microfiber filters built in by 2025. Murphy-Riome said getting similar legislation passed in Ontario, Quebec, Canada and the US will require ongoing efforts from not only lawmakers, but the public they represent. The more the public is educated about this issue, the more they bring it up with their elected officials, he said. The more the elected officials become aware of this issue, I think it will build a groundswell that will lead to some quick wins. Jars holding microfibers collected from washing machine filters. Microfiber pollution will not be erased by washing machine filters, nor will filters completely prevent fibers from ending up in washing machine effluent. Even if the filters are installed in new washing machines, old washing machines will continue to operate in people's homes without filters. There are many ways these microfibers are getting into the ecosystem, and once you let them out, it's very difficult to remove trillions of tiny little microscopic particles. It's impossible to remove those from the ecosystem once they get there, said Sweetnam. The filters also create a new problem: disposal of the wads of microfibers caught in them. The lint is currently tossed in the garbage, inevitably ending up in a landfill. Throwing them into the garbage is imperfect, said Ertl. But it's better than going directly into the water. Eventually, there could be a future where we recover and recycle materials. We're just not there yet. There's also more work to be done to understand where airborne microfibers are coming from. We're trying to understand the pathways of microfibers, said Ertl. Now the director of science and innovation for Five Gyres Institute, Ertl is currently working on a study to find out if clothes dryers are emitting microfibers into the air. According to Sweetnam, the solution to microfiber pollution will need to be multifaceted, involving filters on washing machines, standards for effluent, improvements to wastewater treatment plants, individual behaviors of the general public, and changes in the fashion, textile industry. Lots of thinking needs to be done at each of those levels, he said. It's a pretty complicated system right now, and there are lots of opportunities for innovation and improvement. For more information, or to find templates and information on how to send your government representative a letter supporting legislation to require microfiber filters on washing machines, visit the Georgian Bay Forever website. Erica Engel is the editor of CollingwoodToday.ca. An award-winning journalist, her reporting has been honored by the Canadian Community Newspaper Awards, the Ontario Community Newspaper Association and the Local Media Association. #details-body_p, first of type, first letter, #details-body_, drop cap, first letter, background color, number 333, color, white, display, block, float, left, margin top, 0.0925 m, font size, 3.6 m, padding, 01 rem, line height, 1.2, margin right, 0.125 m, font family, Open Sans Bold, Arial, Helvetica, Sans Serif, #details-body, text intro, font size, 1.125 rem, display, inline block, background color, number 333, color, white, padding, 0.4 m, letter spacing, 0, figure, details file fig caption, text align, right, caption, figure fig caption, font size, 0.8125 rem, at media screen and, min width, 992px, #details-body_p, first of type, first letter, #details-body_, drop cap, first letter, font size, 4.8 m, #details-widgets hour, first of type, border top width, 3px,